What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We are 1 week away from opening day, and guess what? It starts at 3 p.m. next Thursday, March 27th, and you should join us, the entire PitcherList community, at playback.tv/PitcherList. Why? Because if you have MLB.tv, you're at home, you're watching the game alone, right? You're just doing it on the side on your screen. Well, you can watch it synced up with our entire community for free. All you got to do is go to playback.tv/pitcherlist and then log in with your MLB.tv subscription, and you'll be watching the same game that I'm watching, the entire community, the chat is watching, synced up. So no more going to Twitter to talk about it and seeing the next play revealed before you see it. Right? It is so fun. I can't wait for this. I'll be streaming all day. We have a lot of people jumping in for that stream as well. And guess what? Every single day there is baseball, we at PitcherList will be streaming it at Playback. So stop watching baseball alone, everyone. It's incredible. We have the best community. There's no DFS talk. There's no sports betting talk. These are just passionate fans like you who just want to talk about the game that's going on, get quick, instant fantasy advice, and just have fun watching baseball and all this amazing stuff that's happening. So join us opening day, 3 p.m. Eastern time for the entire time. Anytime there's baseball on, just say, hey, you know what? I should just go watch it at playback.tv, which watch it with the PitcherList community. We will be there. So I can't wait to see you guys there next week. The news, well, Jared Jones, we're still waiting on that second opinion, but I'll be honest with you, I have zero expectations that he's going to pitch this year. It's possible, we saw him with Gerrit Cole last year, that he can come back halfway through the year, he can just rest to get a PRP injection and everything, but that's just delaying the inevitable, and for someone so young in their career, I feel like you just got to do the thing and get back into it. We know Blanco took a comebacker to the right wrist. He left his game early. We don't know if he's okay, if he's going to make his next start or so. He wasn't pitching that well beforehand. So I'm pretty out on Ronel Blanco at the moment. Luis Garcia Jr. is also suffering from a setback. He's going to see some doctors after experiencing elbow soreness. Yeah, that doesn't seem good. And that was actually really a big part of the Astros' plan this year, because their fifth starter is Hayden Wisniewski, and there really isn't any reinforcements. Sure, you have Lance McCullers who threw one inning in the spring, but I don't know how much they're really relying on that. If Ronel Blanco is out for a bit, I can understand the rumors that the Diamondbacks are trying to trade Jordan Montgomery. Not even that, but other teams are finally contacting them. And this is what we expected at some point. I imagine the Astros are inside of that too. I listed Atlanta, the Padres, the Yankees, and the Mariners also in it. I couldn't think of any others. I'm sure there are. Maybe the Brewers are involved with this. I think you're going to see Jordan Montgomery find another team. He won't be relevant really in April. It's kind of funny that's similar to last year, where he isn't ramped up yet or he isn't really doing his thing. He pitched yesterday. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I imagine it's going to take some time for him to really get back into a groove. And Montgomery's always been someone who's been rhythm-based. We had that amazing playoff run because he was in rhythm at that point. When he left the Yankees, he did well for a moment for the Cardinals because, again, he was in rhythm at that moment. So wait for him to get into that. No one is touching Jordan Montgomery right now. And then when he actually gets into it, I'll let you know. Just read the SB Roundup. Read that article every day. Listen to this podcast. And I'll tell you the moment that I'm starting to see Jordan Montgomery look like the Bear again, the former guy that we used to like. And that probably will happen like in May. Ranger Suarez might be delayed. He has a stiff back. So yeah, Taiwan Walker might be the fifth starter again. And he was terrible yesterday. What do you know? You don't want to go for that one. The White Sox also might, by the way, they might be going to a four-man early on. So if you're really interested in Shane Smith, well, you might not see him for a couple weeks. So if you're drafting him, I wouldn't do that, because the White Sox don't need a fifth starter for a bit. And he's not even that high of an upside guy. It's just more of, hey, I throw hard and hopefully there's more with the secondaries. And it's the White Sox who shouldn't win many games. So I wouldn't be going after Shane Smith in my leagues at the moment. You have Steven Matz and Jake Irvin going against each other yesterday. Matz went six full innings, one earned run, four hits, one walk, and two Ks, and he kept the changeup down, and that's all we really want to see from him. Good luck. The Cardinals really want to deal him by the deadline, so hopefully Matz can stay healthy enough and do that. He could be of some value in your very deep leagues if he is looking like this in his next start as well. And the Cardinals, out of the gate, are going to face the Angels after the Twins. So if Steven Matz is, say, fourth in this SP rotation, he would get the Angels, and that's not a bad matchup. for him that there could be some value there. Jake Irvin, 5.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 10 hits, oh gosh, 2 walks and 4 Ks, only 19% curveballs. And if you remember last year, that was the big thing that had his amazing run that really steered it early on. He also is normally at like 7 feet of extension and with 2 different fastballs, a four-seamer and the sinker inside the zone. Thing is, this was 91.4 mile per hour fastballs, not 94, 95. And last year we saw a 2-tick uptick of his fastball from like 93 to 95. Now we're down minus 2.6 ticks from last season. So that's the real difference maker to me. It might be just a game where he's not going all out because it was under 7 feet of extension. And oftentimes when I see less extension, I think, okay, either it's an injury or they are holding themselves back. And for the most part, it's holding themselves back because they're just not going full effort to extend as far as they can with the lower half. When I see velocity go down with that extension, that usually means it's an arm injury because you have the lower half work, right? And lower velocity means there's something wrong with the arm. You have Taiwan Walker, 3.2 innings, 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 1K. Yeah, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? We know this Taiwan Walker, move on. Marcus Stroman, 3 innings of 0 earned runs. Yay, good job, buddy. You are the SP4 for the Yankees, and maybe there's some value there. Maybe he can squeak out a win. Early in the season, the Yankees are going to get the Brewers, then the Diamondbacks. I don't really want to throw him against the Diamondbacks. He goes into Detroit. I don't really want to do that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to touch Marcus Stroman. You don't want to touch Alan Wynans either, who came in after, and yeah, he's not going to make the team. 3 innings of 4 runs. He was one of those NRIs with Carlos Carrasco, who could have made the team. It's not going to be him. It's going to be Carrasco, though. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Unbelievable. I know. Carrasco did it. It's going to be him over Will Warren. I mean, it's not official, but it really should be because the Yankees have zero depth. You know this. And no, you do not want to grab him. Gavin Williams went 4.1 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. And I'm in a weird position because I've been saying, hey, look, Gavin Williams should be treated with more respect because he has his amazing fastball that we've seen. And this was a game of under 7 feet of extension and a little bit down on the velocity, still like 95.5. I imagine he's taking it slower now. He showed off what he could do earlier on. He's taking it slower and not seeing 7 feet of extension. Same kind of thing I talked about with Jake Irvin. He's probably not going all out right now. Fine. The other element is that we only have seen the curveball and the cutter, right? And like one changeup. I don't care. So those two pitches did well here with like 60% strikes on the curve and on the slider. Nice, he got them generally down. That's great. It's 85 mile per hour sliders. I don't love it though. I think this is not a consistent set of secondaries. And for me to really get excited about Gavin Williams, I need to see that cutter at like 90 miles per hour as like a reliable strike pitch. You can still throw the slider and the curve underneath that. You don't need them to be 60% strikes then. You can turn to them more for these big whiff opportunities if that cutter is filling up the zone. He hasn't thrown it yet. Eric Samulski went over to Cleveland and talked to him about it. And Williams said to him, hey, I'm saving the cutter. I don't want to throw it in camp right now. I'm going to throw it when the season begins. I don't really want to show it off and everything. Fine. And I want to believe that. I have fallen for the trap before with pitchers giving me extra information, leaning into something, and then not really seeing it come to fruition. So I want to be careful with this, with Gavin Williams. If I didn't have that extra information, I'd be kind of tepid on this because he's not really growing in the way that I would want him to. I do want to believe that he does have that cutter. I mean, I was sending all the texts to Eric Samulski to be like, make Gavin Williams throw the cutter. So I hope that he does, and I'm still going to continue drafting Gavin Williams because, yes, that is a good fastball, and I would not be worried about the sub-96 mile-per-hour fastball. J.P. Sears also pitched 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. It's not the Blake's not blueprint anymore. I really wish he just left the Athletics. I think his flat attack angle is really cool with a four-seamer, and he does have things. It's just, man, he needs to get out of there. I think another club needs to get an opportunity with a J.P. Sears. And we have other guys to talk about. There is a very surprising name who I've not been in on at all this entire spring. And now I recognize, you know what? Yeah, this guy can actually be value in your 15-teamers, if not as a Toby in your 12-teamers. And we'll talk about him after this break. That guy is Jordan Hicks. 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. This is someone I've been out on the entire time this offseason. because I just didn't really see anything exciting. I didn't think he could throw strikes. His velocity was 94, 95. It was moved to the pen, all this stuff. He showed up. All right. I was even suggesting on the craft yesterday with Eno that maybe Birdsong and Rupp make this rotation, moving Hicks to the bullpen. And nope, because Hicks was sitting 97.4, not 94, 97.4, about three ticks up from last year. And he had a sweeper at a 64% strike rate. But the thing is, really, if that sinker is that hard and being thrown for 70% strikes, Jordan Hicks will succeed. He will not allow many hits because that is a really hard sinker to hit. And he will get through games with the Giants behind him. So I see this as a Toby. I see this as, all right, like 15 teamers. If you're in a volume league that favors going at least five innings and not and having a lower earned run as opposed to the focus of strikeouts, yeah, Jordan Hicks could do this. Now, there is a question if his splitter and his sweeper, again, are going to get enough strikes. Will that help him limit the walks? I don't like the fact that it's still sweeper, splitter, and not like a cutter or anything else to help him. Still, a 97 mile per hour sinker at 70% strikes is really good. And Jordan Hicks can do that and have some value. So fine, you're back on the menu, Hicks. I get it. What a turn of events. You got Michael Wacha also, who's getting severely underdrafted. I got to say this. Five innings, one run, two hit, two walks, eight Ks. He's the same guy. He's a guy with a good changeup and even had a good slider for strikes here in 3-for-19 whiffs on that. We'll take that. That's like a 15% swing strike rate. Sure. Why not? Like, Waka's on a winning ball club with the Royals and has a good park to pitch in and is going to be the third guy, so he's going to go opening weekend. And guess what? Michael Wacha is going to get Cleveland, hosting Cleveland. That's cool with me. You know, then going to be hosting Baltimore. I'm fine with that. He's going to do well as a 12-team Toby. 15-teamers, I'm all for getting Wacha. I got him in Tout Wars for a reason. I think he's just going to be, and that's CBS points. I'm a huge fan of that. Jordan Montgomery went, as I mentioned before, 2.2 innings of zero runs. Hey, maybe he's marketable now. Four base runners, one walk in there, and two Ks. His velocity's still down, though. 90.2 miles per hour. He's down 1.5 ticks from last year, and that was already down from, like, 93. So, not cool, but he could be ramping up. He hasn't really gotten much of an opportunity thus far, so it's kind of why I'm saying that he could be good by May. Zero whiffs on the changeup and curveball across 18 thrown. Yeah, he's not there yet, and it might not be there for a bit. I don't think we're going to see exactly what we saw from last year's disaster, but some team will acquire him, and they should give him enough of a runway so they can find some value there. Jake Woodford and Bradley Blaylock piggybacked each other, which I thought was the plan. Then Chase DeLander is looking really good. So, I don't know. Maybe the Rockies are going to say, look, this is an NRI. Woodford, we lose this, so we don't get it, and it's the Rockies. We just won innings. So maybe you still see Woodford in there. But yeah, you don't need to chase any of that. Emerson Hancock looked better. Four innings, one run for it. One walk in four Ks. 2-for-6 whiffs on his four-seamer because he actually elevated it at the right time. Yeah, he did get hit hard in one of them. Fine. But that's progress. And focusing on the sinker. And the changeup was all right. The sinker to left-hander is not so good. And the sweeper, But progress. And that's all right, Hancock. And good luck being the SP5. His first start is going to be hosting the Tigers, which might be a very sneaky stream because it's in Seattle. So something to consider there. Everyone's just ignoring Hancock. He's not getting drafted anywhere. If you're in a very deep league and just need a start, that actually could be of value. You have Jacob DeGrom, four innings there, and 95 to 96. So it's not 97. It's not 98. It's like 95, 96. A little weird. We have a great quote from the chat that Jacob DeGrom was saying that he couldn't land his slider down to the way he wanted because of his shoulder flying open, which is a very common thing. It happens every so often. I honestly think that DeGrom just wasn't really going 100%. He's been saying that he wants to throw 97, not 100, which I think is good. 95, 96 is just kind of part of the whole thing of, hey, DeGrom, you're not fully ramped up. They're going to be slowing you down and everything like that. Stuff-wise, I mean, 10 for 57 whiffs is like a 16, 17%, more 18% overall swing strike rate. So like, yeah, DeGrom is amazing, guys. Don't worry about 200 runs in four innings and six base runners. Like, it's everything is good, and you definitely want to get DeGrom in your leagues. With Richard Fitz, I know he's been one of those late flyers I've circled. It's a little weird right now because we've only seen really one game. I guess it was two, but it was one that was amazing on the pitch data. The second one wasn't as good, but it was still good. This was 4 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And the thing is, I'm trying as much as I can. I say this every year. When it comes to my late round flyers, I am going to give a bigger focus to those who start early. And Ryan Weathers and Max Meyer, I know it's the Marlins, but at least they go the first 3 games of the year. Sean Burke is going opening day, and that's against the Angels. And then he would follow that up against the Twins. He might get 3 starts in the first like 2 weeks because it's a 4-man rotation, so 12 games, right? There's something to be said about that with Sean Burke and getting some more extra volume from him. Hopefully he's up to 96 as opposed to 94. And by the way, if you're wondering, how am I getting this schedule so quickly? We actually, I made this back in October. This is my top 200 starting pitchers for Fantasy Baseball 2025 article, where I did the first 5 series for every team. It just says a heads up because we had that information already and I made a massive grid of it. And that's what I'm doing for this quick info. And with the Marlins, by the way, for Weathers and Meyer, it's going to be the Pirates that opening weekend. So I'm totally cool starting Weathers and Meyer there. As for Richard Fitz, it's going to be at Baltimore, and he's going to be the 4 or 5. So I'm not as big of a fan of that, and I'm not sure I will like it. So what I'll say is this, you can start the other guys. If you don't like that, then you can try and get Fitz. But I don't feel like you need to go and get Fitz right now. It could be something that sticks, but it does feel like they have all these other options, and unless Fitz is demonstrably amazing, which he wasn't here, then, yeah, he'll get kicked out by Bayo and Crawford and Giolito. You have Casey Mize, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Yeah, he's a Toby, but he is going to go to Seattle. His first start, he would be the SP4 for Detroit with Scooble, Flaherty, and Olsen being the first 3. That's kind of cool. I might want him for that. And guess what? He'd also follow that up with the White Sox at the end of the next one on the following Sunday. Oh man, Casey Mize. All right, I think I'm in for the first week if you need 2 starts there. You have Tyler Anderson, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. That's Tyler Anderson. He can kind of do that, and he's going to get the White Sox in his first start. Oh boy, that is a terrible offense. Tyler Anderson is someone to stream that first week. I know it sounds crazy. Again, this is just the little things that if you are able to do this, you can take advantage of it. You have Logan Allen with the Guardians trying to fight his way into the rotation. Guess what? 4.2 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Ortiz, Luis L. Ortiz has not been good. So maybe it's Logan Allen in there and not Joey Cantillo. 4.2 innings, he's still around. With this productive start, might actually do it. I don't want to touch Logan Allen. Okay, cool. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to save the annoying one for last. You have Andrew Heaney, 4.1 innings, 300 runs. I don't really care, but Andrew Heaney, I think, is too volatile. And Aaron Civale, 4 innings of 300 runs. I don't think it's worth your time. Shane Smith, as I mentioned before, did go 4 innings and 0 runs, but probably won't start for a bit. Ranel Blanco, 3.2 innings of 300 runs, wasn't pitching well. 7 base runners, including 3 walks. David Peterson went 5 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Kind of dig him in 15-teamers because he has good extension. And if he's able to keep that change and slider down, he'll get a lot of whiffs with that. That's cool. Hopefully the velocity is better than 90-91 as we saw previously. I don't like 3 walks here, but Peterson, I think you're kind of good. Now, Zach Littell. So the Rays situation is that Rasmussen, Joe Boyle, and Littell are kind of fighting for this last spot. And Rasmussen, we already know, is going to get piggybacked in some fashion. There's also a case that Shane Baz could be out of the rotation. He has options. Zach Littell does not. Thing is, Zach Littell could just be long relief if he's not that great. But 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks kind of says, hi, I'm in the rotation. Oh, gosh. All right, you're going to get one more game before you actually start again, I guess. Maybe you don't pitch until next Thursday for opening day as like a piggyback thing with Shane McClanahan. I don't know. The Rays are very weird. I'll say this. Ryan Pepiot is the only one I feel like is totally just let loose for this year. Shane Baz could be going to the minors. Taj Bradley, what are we going to get? I don't know. Shane McClanahan's 140, 150 innings. Zach Littell, Drew Rasmussen is going to get ramped up as we go. But Ryan Pepiot is just like, I'm going to try and be a stud. So there is something to be said about that with Pepiot. Hopefully he becomes a workhorse for them. And Zach Littell is around. So there might be some sneaky play of having Zach Littell as the follower for like McClanahan in the first game of the season. And then he piggybacks with Rasmussen a week later. I don't know. I hate this. I hate it. All right. That is it for today. I appreciate all of you who stuck around to give us a rating and review on iTunes. I can't express enough. That is so helpful, especially for the Plus Pitch podcast individual feeds on top of the main one. We are trying to get as many advertisers as we can so we can stop doing these programmatic ads. And also, we want to create all these tools for you, expand what we do. We think that PitcherList can be the number one baseball media company. And we're trying to do it all the right way without sports betting, without giving in and making the culture worse so that we get an audience that is not what we want to associate with, right? We want to make this the best baseball sanctuary anywhere, and we need your help. So if you can, just leave a rating and review. It does so much on Apple. Thank you all so much. And that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.